And today, is it dark in here or is it just me? It's just me. Okay. As you are aware, we've been having this prayer 24, and I have to say my eyes this morning are not functioning quite as they should. They're held together with matchsticks at the moment, and I just feel like everything's a little bit dark. We have got some scriptures. We usually try and stick to that for our sermons. We'll go with Philippians 1, 9 to 11. I'm giving it away to all of these ones as well. Matthew 6, 9 to 13. Yeah, today we're, sorry for that little interruption, we're taking a break from our series in Romans. As you are aware, and I know a lot of you have been around this weekend on this Prayer 24 event, and I felt it would be right, and I was speaking with Ali, who did so much of the organisation, thank you so much. I was talking with her about it, and we felt that it was right to take a break out of our sermon series this morning and just look at the idea of prayer. And I just want this morning, really, I don't know if you can call it a sermon. I've called it a reflection on prayer. I want to look at two things, I think, three things, maybe more. We'll see as we go. I want to reflect a little bit on the priority of prayer. If you're taking notes, there will be some structure to this morning. If you've got a Bible with you, how many haven't got a Bible with you? Can I suggest that you put your hands nice and high, if this isn't to make you feel guilty, and Vaughan and Pete, could you just grab Bibles and ensure that everybody has a Bible? So if you hold your hands up high, if you haven't got a Bible with you, then please hold your hands up, you will need one. Yeah, I'm going to look at the priority of prayer, and I'm going to also look at the pattern of prayer, and then we're going to reflect, I hope, a little bit on what the Lord might have been saying through this 24 hours of prayer. So that's how we're going to do. It is, firstly, the priority of prayer, the pattern of prayer, and then the practice of prayer. So those are my three P's, in case you're taking notes and you want to see what the alliteration is today. To provide a reflection, there are still some hands up. Have you run out of Bibles? Okay, there are some. John, could you just nip through to the prayer room? There are a whole load of Bibles in there also. To provide a basis for these reflections, as Debs has pointed out, we do go to Scripture first. And we're going to read two brief passages of Scripture. Have you got them, Debs? What we're going to do is we're going to stand to read God's Word together. There are only a few verses each, so you won't be standing for long. So if you wouldn't mind standing with me, and we read these verses together from the NIV, if you wouldn't mind, just so that we are reading of one voice. If you just bring them in, John, and we'll distribute them. If you take them to the back, and then Pete and Vaughan can distribute them. Right, let's read together. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. And then turn back with me to the familiar words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 9. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Please be seated. Father God, we pray that the words of my mouth, the reflections of our hearts, might be centered and focused solely on you. Speak to each and every one of us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My first reflection really is on the priority of prayer. The title is deliberately ambiguous, for it means both that prayer itself is a priority, and also we need to focus on what the priority we put, what is our priority when we pray. I wish I could say that we all recognize, when I first wrote this sermon, I wrote, we all understand the priority of prayer. We all recognize the priority of prayer. But when I came to do it, I stopped and I thought, actually, I wish we did all understand the priority of prayer. I wished I understood the priority of prayer. I see little evidence in my life, and I have to include you in on this as well. I see very little evidence that we treat prayer as a priority. I see that in my own life. I wonder if I give prayer the priority that it should be given. In actual fact, I don't wonder. I know I don't. And my reflection is this. I think that we rarely give prayer the priority we should. I don't know if you sign up to things on the internet, sign up to join this site or do this. You have at the bottom of many of these websites a tick box that says, have you read the terms and conditions? And you tick it, and I don't know if you read the terms and conditions, but most of us, I suspect, tick that box, never reading the terms and conditions. And I think we would all say that prayer, similarly, we tick the box that says, I think prayer is a priority. But actually, we don't do the things that actually show it to be thus. As I prepared for this season of prayer, this Prayer 24, I've read a lot about prayer and its importance. And I've come across a lot of quotes on the subject, but I want to share it with you just one. And I'll read it twice just so that you can grasp it, because I always make a mistake the first time round. We can never know God, as it is our privilege to know him, by brief and fragmentary and unconsidered repetitions of intercessions that are requests for personal favours and nothing more. The goal of prayer can only be reached by patient and continued and continuous waiting upon him, pouring out our heart to him and permitting him to speak to us. Only by doing so can we expect to know him. I recognize myself in that. I recognize the unconsidered repetitions of intercessions that are requests for personal favors and nothing more. I don't know, do you recognize that as your prayer life? Is that sort of unthinking splurge of asking God to sort something out for you? Whenever I have a problem in life, that's blowing my trumpet way too much. Whenever I have a problem in life, I turn to the Lord in prayer. That's absolute rubbish. Most of the time, I don't even bother turning to the Lord in prayer. I try and sort it out myself. But if occasion comes to it that I pray, I turn to the Lord in prayer and I say, Lord, sort this problem out. I ask him for favours. And I recognize myself, we can never know God as it is our privilege to know him. That's what prayer is about, is entering into a relationship with God. We can never know God as our privilege to know him by brief and fragmentary, unconsidered repetitions of intercessions that are requests for personal favours and nothing more. The goal of prayer can only be reached by patient and continued and continuous waiting upon him, pouring out our heart to him and permitting him to speak to us. Pouring out our heart to him and permitting him to speak to us. Only by doing so can we expect to know him. Prayer is a priority for how can we enter into a relationship with someone with whom we don't communicate. Prayer is about, life is about a relationship with God. We can't have a relationship with God if we don't talk with him and let him talk with us. That is why it's fundamental. I texted my daughter, Bex, just before this morning, just to say that I had been praying and I was praying for her. I wanted to tell her I loved her. I recognised that as I wrote the text, I recognised I don't speak to her. Deb does a lot of the talking to her. She talks to her every day. And we have occasional conversations. And I was thinking, you know, we have a great relationship, Bex and I, and I know she loves talking to Debs, and Debs repeats everything that she said to me, and so I have kind of heard everything there is, but I've got the condensed version. I recognise that actually the relationship has to have communication, or else it won't continue. I have to continue to converse with Bex and listen to her and all the things that she has to say, and to have those conversations with her. But if I don't, the relationship will just disintegrate. However much she's my daughter and I'm her father, there will be something missing if communication isn't there. However much I'm her father and she's my daughter, however much I love her because we gave birth to her, she's a part of us, she's been a part of my life, she's a favourite. I love her to bits. I enjoy spending... I love you to bits, didn't I? I enjoy spending time with her. She's just a delight. And yet the relationship will not be the same if we don't communicate. And you know what God wants to say, I think, to us? He says, I love you to bits. I delight in you. But let's spend some more time together. Let's talk some more. I want to hear what your day's been like. I want to hear your requests for favours. It tells me where you're at. But I want you to listen to me as well. You know, so oftentimes you have a conversation with Bex. It's like Megan went to lunch with her yesterday, met up in Oxford. And when Megan got on the scales this morning, she was saying how she'd shared a Sunday with Bex. Well, I thought, well, that's not going to impact you on the scales at all. Share a Sunday with Bex. Yeah. You're not impacted. Bex, the scales for Bex may be different, but I'm sure Megan got maybe a mouthful out of that Sunday that they shared together. And sometimes with Bex, conversations are similar. You have a conversation with Bex, and if you get a word or two in, you feel a real blessing. And sometimes you wish that she would listen to you, sometimes, and you just feel like, I'm not being mean to Bex. I love her. She is uniquely Bex. But I think it is a reflection on how we often are. And I think sometimes God wants to say, hey, Steve, stop all that chattering. Just stop. Just listen to me for once. Just stop. I want to tell you something important. My reflection on our prayer is we need to give priority to our relationship with God, to prayer. I recognize too often in my prayer life that it focuses on the immediate rather than the important. I look at what's in front of me the next day, the next week. I've got a sermon to prepare, Lord, help! Or whatever it might be, I'm going through a tough time, I'm struggling, or Lord, help. And the immediate is there, and I don't think of the long term, the priority. I think God has a bigger priority in prayer. I think it's, we often come to him for our favours and those things, and I think that God actually has a bigger priority. I think not only is prayer a priority and we have to give it priority, I think the priority in prayer is summed up in those final words of what Paul says in that verses from Philippians. That pause is for you to think, what did Paul say at the end of Philippians? In what was Paul's priority? What do you think Paul was saying? And my prayer for you is this. And what sums up his prayers? What are those final words? To the glory and praise of God. You know, I think that is the priority of prayer. We have short-term goals of, Lord, sort this out, Lord, sort that out. I think we need to start getting a bit much more of the bigger picture. The glory and praise of God. The glory and praise of God. That needs to be our priority in prayer. His glory and praise. I wonder if half of what we got, what we pray for, would get prayed for if that was our priority. If we made God's glory and his praise our priority in prayer, would we ask for, and would we, all of the stuff that we say, would we say it? I want this to be a challenge to myself and to us all, is that we make prayer a priority and that we make our priority of prayer God's glory and praise. That's my reflection on the priority of prayer. My second reflection is on the pattern of prayer. We've read together the so-called Lord's Prayer, and it seems obvious to use this as a pattern of prayer, and I'm sure you've heard 100 sermons on it. If not, go and find a few. I'm sure there are ones around on the pattern of prayer. And I'm not sure that we should be using the Lord's Prayer as a prayer by rote, where we just stand up and we say the Lord's Prayer. Good as it is, I do think we should do that. I think Jesus, when he shared that prayer, wanted to give us an understanding of priorities and patterns of prayer. I think that's a part of what he wanted to do. I think it helps set our priorities right. Our God, who art in heaven. It starts in the right place. And we get on to asking for daily bread and all of that stuff later down. It's sorting out those priorities. I don't really want to reflect at this moment on time of the pattern. I'm not going to walk through that prayer and say, okay, let's do this first, let's do that first, let's next, and do that. I'm going to use a quote from an unknown author about some of the things that the Lord's Prayer should challenge us over. I cannot say, our, if I live only for myself in a spiritual, watertight compartment. The prayer starts, Our Father. It is a communal. It is a sharing together. We cannot live life in our spiritual bubble, me, myself. We are together as community. I cannot say, Father, if I do not endeavour each day to act like his child. We prayed through the night, and thank you, Ali, for those scriptures that you shared with us. I've sought to memorize the psalm, or at least the first bit of the psalm. It was a bit longer than it would take me the hour to memorize. But I love the ones from Ephesians 5, the challenge to live before men in a way that glorifies God. And I think this is where we say, I cannot say Father unless I endeavour to live each day as his child. Do we reflect the Father in how we live? I cannot say who art in heaven if I'm laying up no treasure there. If my treasure is all on this earth, then I cannot say, Our Father who art in heaven. If heaven is not my focus, then how can I say that? The challenge is that we should be putting our focus on heaven. I cannot say, Hallowed be thy name, if I'm not striving to live a holy life. If I don't seek to want to be holy, how can I say, Hallowed be your name? How can I attribute to God holiness if I don't give a monkeys about holiness? I cannot say thy kingdom come if I'm not doing all in my power to hasten that wonderful day and to build that kingdom on this earth. I cannot say thy will be done if I'm disobedient to God's word, if I don't live in the way that God has called me to do. How can I say your will be done if I'm not doing his will? I cannot say on earth as it is in heaven if I will not serve him in the here and the now. I cannot say, give us our daily bread if I'm dishonest or an under-the-counter shopper. We can't put our trust in God if we put our trust in ourselves. If we here in relying, putting our dependence on God, saying, give us our daily bread, we are saying we are totally reliant and dependent on you. And if we live independently of God, how can we pray such a prayer? I cannot say, forgive us our debts, if I harbour a grudge against anyone. Oh, God, speak into our hearts. I find myself challenged by each and every sentence of this prayer. That as I think, oh, I don't like that person, or that person did this, or and I say, forgive us. If I hold a grudge against someone, how I cannot say deliver us from evil if I don't put on the whole armor of God. If I say deliver me from the evil one, how can I do so if I don't read Ephesians 6 and say I put on the whole armor of God? If I don't prepare myself for battle, how can I say deliver me from the evil one? God has provided everything we need for godliness. He's enabled us to have everything to stand, and when we have done all to stand, he's given us it all in Christ Jesus. And if we don't avail ourselves of it, if we don't put on the armor, how can we say, deliver me from the evil one? I cannot say thy kingdom come if I don't give the king the loyalty due to him as a faithful subject. If I don't name him as king, if I don't live under his rule and authority, how can I say thy kingdom come? I cannot attribute to him power if I fear what men may do or say more than I fear what God will do. I cannot say the power is yours if I look and take the power of men. And I'm more concerned about that. We need to be more concerned about what God says than what man says. There will come a time, church, in this country, where we will need to stand firm against the authorities because they are telling us to do things that are against the word of God, and we will need to stand and be willing to take our stand and disobey for obedience to God. It will come. We are a Christian country. But much of that is being eroded. And we need to recognize that we attribute to God first and foremost the power and not be afraid of what mere man can do to us. I cannot ascribe to him glory if I'm seeking honor for myself. If I'm saying, look at me, make me important. What we should be doing, our prayer is about his glory and his praise. That means that it's not about us. It's not about all those things that we want so that our lives get sorted. It's about what he wants, that his world gets sorted. And he's concerned about his world. He's concerned about bigger priorities than your sore toe. He loves you. He cares about your sore toe. But he is really about big priorities. We need to get into his agenda and his big priorities. He's got the world to sort out. He's got the world to redeem. He's got the world to show his glory to. I cannot say forever if the horizon of my life is bounded completely by the things of time. 15 bill each week. It changes your perspective on life. I went to see him on Thursday afternoon. And I'm always embarrassed when I go and see him because they wake him up for me. And he gets woken up when I visit. And he wakes up and we chat and we pray. And this week I was talking about all that was going on at church. I was saying, really excited about the prayer time that we're going to have. And he said, Steve, if the Lord doesn't come for me between now and then, I will be praying through the night, through the day with you. I won't be there, sorry, but I'll be praying for you and praying with you. And I have absolute confidence that he will have been doing that. And we prayed together. Oh, he got carried away with prayer. He was praying, hand raised in the air, praying away to his wonderful Saviour. And at the end, he said, Steve, I'm tired now. I'm asleep. Rolled over, went to sleep, and I disappeared off. Lord, that I might have eternity in my heart, that I might give to you praise and glory to my dying day, that on my deathbed, that I too would be praising you, that I would be giving you glory, that I wouldn't be so worried about this life, but be looking forward to the future life. That is what my heart, my prayer is for each and every one of us, that we would have a forever horizon. We wouldn't be so concerned about whether I've got enough money for the day. I don't know if you've seen this in the news. People are being challenged to live on £1 a day. It's a challenge I'd want us to take up because it would free us from the pernicious effect of money where we think we need this, we need the next, you know, the Galaxy S4, you know, the next latest phone, whatever it is. We need the iPhone 5. We need whatever it is that's coming round the corner. We don't need all of this rubbish. My mum survives quite fine without telephone, email, computer. They're useless to her. But she's hidden God's word in her heart. And every day, it speaks to her. I would want us to have an eternity perspective where things are far more important, where I store up treasure in heaven rather than on earth. It is my prayer that this would be true for us. This prayer should challenge us to think about our lives. If it doesn't, I don't know what will. This prayer that Jesus taught us must challenge us to how we live. Perhaps the problem with prayer, the reason we give so little priority to it, maybe it's because it does challenge us too much and we don't like it. So we set it aside, I don't know. But those are a reflection on our priority of prayer, a reflection on the pattern of prayer. Before we move on to reflect on the Prayer 24, and I would ask that you share, if you've been to Prayer 24, some of the things that you feel God has been saying to us. I think God has... I was amazed this morning. Oh, I shouldn't be amazed. Sorry, Jill. At prayer breakfast this morning, there were 10 of us, 12 of us around the table. And we said, oh, what do you think God's been saying? And I just felt God's sort of, different people said, oh, I felt this, and I felt, and everything just whoosh, came together, and you just felt, yeah. And I felt the whole thing about this prayer 24 has been that God has been speaking. And he's been saying something I think that's very important, and I've been challenged by it, and I want us as church to be challenged by it. I think we need to give more priority to prayer. That's for no doubt. I want to share you another quote that really struck me, and it was formed on the basis of my prayer session. I can share it with you because there were only a few of you there, and those of you that were there on Saturday morning won't mind it being shared again. The scriptures, read and prayed, are our primary and normative access to God as he reveals himself to us. The scriptures are our listening post for learning the language of the soul, the ways God speaks to us, the vocabulary and grammar that are appropriate as we turn to speak to God. Prayer detached from scripture, that is, from listening to God, is no longer biblical prayer. Our words to God, disconnected from God's words to us, short-circuit the relational language that is prayer. Prayer is about a relationship. A relationship where we communicate one with another. That's what relationships are about. We share with one another. The language we use, the vocabulary and grammar that we use for everyday speech, we were reflecting this morning in our prayer breakfast, that language has changed. Things mean different things this day, now. And we all understand language and grammar. Most of us don't understand grammar, but we understand vocabulary, because we wouldn't get very far in the world if we didn't understand vocabulary. We do have to understand a bit of grammar, because putting a comma in the wrong place can change a sentence quite differently. But if we're going to communicate with God, and God communicate with us, the vocabulary and language is the scripture. And one of the things that's excited me over this prayer 24 has been the re-engaging with scripture. I've been thrilled with the way we haven't colluded, we haven't got together. And we didn't come up with Ali and I got together and we prayed and talked about this prayer 24 and we spent some time, but we didn't say, oh, I'm going to do my session this way, you do your session that way, and we'll get Deb to do a session and we'll tell her to do it this way, and we'll get Jill to do a session and tell her to do it this way, if she'll get on and do what we say, we'll collude together and make sure that the church goes in the direction we think it should go in. We didn't do any of that. But the thing that came through, right from moment one, right through everything, has been scripture. Look at this cross, wonderful cross, done in the late hours of last night. When we were saying, you know, Lord, keep me watching with you in prayer. As we'd battled with prayer through the day, we got to the late night, and here we have world headlines to which we put scripture. We started the morning with Psalms. We had scripture throughout our time of praise and worship. Scripture is fundamental because it is the language, the vocabulary and grammar of prayer. So, I want now for us all to engage in the practice of prayer. And I'm going to make it a bit of a challenge for you, I'm afraid.